welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
Give a thank you to the youth leaders that also played a part. Let's give them a round of applause also. Every one of you, all of those that turned up and on the different days and just, you know, spoke to our youth. Here's some of our youth on the front row. There's others spread throughout. And we had a fabulous week even with the youth, didn't we? Because, you know, at this age, they're not kids anymore. They are literally young ladies, young men. And, you know, we had special things that differentiated that, didn't we? One of them was like pizza most days. Shh, don't tell anybody, but we had pizza. Nobody else had pizza, but only us, only the youth. Well, a few questions. I've got my graduation hat on, so we're going to see if you've really graduated as youth. And I'm going to ask a few questions that we kind of had teaching lessons on throughout the whole week. Now, one of them is, God loves us with a kind of love that is different to human love. It's very, very different. In fact, it's a completely different word. The one word love that we have to describe all loves is it's a pathetic excuse to describe all loves, because with this one word we tell, you know, your significant other that you love them, but at the same time you love your dog, you love fish and chips, you love all of these things with that same word. It kind of, it's a wee bit weak, isn't it? That's the English language falls short. But the word that describes God's love is completely different to all of those meetings. Can anyone tell me what that word is in the original language first? What is the word? It's a one word. What is it? Hands up and I'll see who knows the answer. Katie. Katie seems to know the answer.
What is it?
Agape. Agape, absolutely right. Absolutely right. So Katie has graduated with flying colors. Now, who can tell me what the word agape kind of means? There's one word I'm looking for, because this kind of love, what makes it so different is it's, what kind of love is it? If you can give me even one word to try to get a glimpse of what kind of love this is. Well, Myla, you should know, because you've probably heard this all the time. So I'm going to go to our champion worm dancer. Let's give her a clap for the worm dance. You might be able to get to see the worm dance later, but she was on stage. George was on stage giving all the worm dance, getting points for Soul Patrol. Right, so can you describe, give me one word, which would kind of start to describe what God's love is like.
Unconditional.
What is it?
Unconditional.
Absolutely. Unconditional love. And that's why it is completely different to human love. Because if we're honest, our love has limits, doesn't it? It can be challenged. Your love and my love, so easily it can be challenged. It has limits. Someone annoys you long enough, suddenly your love levels start to drop. Isn't that right? And if we're honest, that's what we're like. Even with our best intentions one to another, human love always falls short. Even if you, like me, eat fish and chips every day, you'll start to lose love for fish and chips. but God's love is unconditional. And I think that's amazing. That's why you and I, every morning we wake up, the Bible says His grace and His mercy is new every morning. And it lasts all through that day. And when we get back up, it is undiminished. It is just unconditional. There are no limits to it. It is everlasting, God's love for you. With our brains, we can't take that in. And I'm just going to turn you to some scriptures. We've got 10 minutes, and then we're going to be closing. And I'm going to encourage you all to stay around. There's tea, coffee. There's, I think, buns. Carol, yeah, Carol's giving me the nod. There's buns and lovely things. And The whole theme of this week, can you tell me what the name, the title of this week was? Agents of Truth. So again, we're finishing off this week right now. And that's why I've still got this hat on, because we are going to put the truth up to the test. We're going to find out, what does the Word say about God's love and where we stand in all of that? Agents of Truth. I'm speaking to the youth and I'm speaking to the adults here. Anybody heard of a very famous prime minister that this country had during the Second World War? His name was Winston Churchill. You've all heard of that? Well, Winston Churchill made a statement about truth. He said, in wartime, truth is so precious that she should always be attended by a bodyguard of lies. So truth, when it's really up for grabs, is always defended by lies from the other side. We have an enemy. The Bible tells us who that is. You have an enemy. I have an enemy. And that is the devil, Satan, the demonic realm, evil, whatever you use to describe that word. One of the subjects that we also had was that God has translated us, delivered us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son. The kingdom of darkness, that is your enemy. That's my enemy this morning. So if you have an enemy, even Winston Churchill, as a mortal being, was able to know that his strategy against you is to hide the truth through a barrage of lies. So that means you and I are being lied to every day by the enemy of your soul to stop you finding the truth. But we're going to just immediately expose that, bring the Word up to it, and we're going to just look at it. Agents of Truth. Ultimately, the whole theme is about the fact that we need to be saved. We need to be rescued. In fact, again, that was one of the messages that we had. The greatest story ever told is the story of your rescue and my rescue. Why do we need rescued in the first place? Well, Romans 6:23, Isaiah 53, verse 6, these different scriptures would kind of tell us straight why we need rescued. But the Bible says from cover to cover, the Bible tells us clearly the fact that we need rescued. And it says that all we like sheep, I learned this in primary school, Sunday school. And again, it just came back to me recently. But look at this for a scripture in Isaiah. In the Old Testament, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And just stop there. We have gone our own way, every one of us, right? So there's no condemnation this morning, because we have all done it and still do it. This word sin, all that it means, it's not necessarily a dirty word, although many connotations of sin can bring you just into complete depravity. But the word sin means missing the mark. Remember, like an archer aiming for the bullseye, the degree to which he missed the bullseye, that's what that word sin is. The original word sin came from archery. So the degree to which he missed, no matter whether he missed by a small bit or he completely missed it by a mile, that's what the word sin is. It means going another way. It means missing the mark that God has for us. And it says that we've all done it. What is the penalty for missing the mark, though? This word sin carries a death penalty with it. Because not again that you and I are bad, but the Bible tells us why sin carries a death penalty. And we have to again reverse, take the lies out of the way, where it seems like God doesn't love us, God's an angry, judgmental God, that God is against you. That's not the reason why sin carries a death penalty. The reason why sin carries a death penalty is because we were born into a fallen world which is already sinking, set aside for death. We've described it many times, and I think it's a great analogy, like being born on the Titanic. And we talked about that again, youth, didn't we, this week? But imagine if you were born on the deck of the Titanic and chose to stay there and ignored the safety warnings, ignored the warnings to get into the lifeboat, ignored the sirens, ignored those around you that maybe knew and knew that the ship was sinking. By choosing to ignore it, the wages of missing the call, missing it, is death, sinking with the ship. That's the reason why God tells us in Romans 6:23 that the wages of missing the rescue that God has for us is death. We choose to go down with the ship. That's the reason. So this earth has already fallen, and it fell when Adam and Eve sinned way back then. And the Bible tells us we've been born into it. Now we've got a great news to come to. Romans 5, verse 8. This was one of the scriptures, again, that Tanya brought out with this hat that I'm wearing. And again, on the hat, you can see there's ribbons, different color ribbons. One of them is gold. There's one up there that is gold, talks about what God's plan for us is. God plans that none should perish. We all should go to heaven. We should all have eternal life. That's God's plan for you. Gold. God does not want you to go down with the ship. He does not want you to choose death, which is already your future, if you refuse to be rescued. He wants you to choose life. Now, there's a red ribbon on here, a red portion, and that tells us the fact that God made it possible through his own blood, through Jesus Christ, to pay the price for the sin of all of the world. We've heard the gospel, that you don't even need to pay the price because someone has paid it for you. He's gone out of his way with unconditional love. That no matter what your background, no matter whether you feel good, bad, worthy, whatever, Jesus has seen you, loved you. He's got a plan for your life. The Bible says God has a future and a hope for you, for me, for your life. And he has made a way for you. In other words, he's paid the price for your sin. And there is an individual lifeboat for you with your name on it. And it's Jesus Christ for every one of us. None of us need to perish. So if you were on the Titanic and your lifeboat was there with your name on it, and the sirens were going, the ship was singing, you could see the water levels rising, and you saw other people running for the lifeboat, some were in a state of confusion, some were ignoring it, but others were in a queue, and others were already in the lifeboat, in the water and safe, what would you do? Would you just ignore it? Or would you start to pay attention, start to find out, right, how do I get into my lifeboat? The great news is Jesus has paid the price. God demonstrated. So again, agents of truth. This word demonstrated means that God has proven his love. He's actually proven it, and we can put his love to the test. That's what that word demonstrate means. I think it fits perfectly with agents of truth. He has put his love up. He has shown it, and he has put it up to the test, that you and I can put his love to the test and see if it's real or not. He's demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, while we were lost, even then Christ died for us. The verse before this says that rarely would anybody die for anybody else. This shows you God's unconditional love, how much he loves us. I doubt whether, even as Christians, if it really came to it, would you really give up your life for your friend? Never mind your acquaintance. Never mind a really, really good person. The verse before this says that, you know, it would be a very rare thing if someone was to give up their life for somebody else. Now, sometimes we hear stories of this, particularly in war and heroic endeavors. And we know there's been great endeavors of men and women where they have laid down their life, say for king and country, to rescue a comrade. But that's still so rare, so rare. There's a story of Lawrence of Arabia in 1915. Again, this is one of the stories that get Lawrence of Arabia. Have you ever heard of him? His reputation, and it just made him quite a famous within his own lifetime. Lawrence of Arabia, he was an archaeologist, but he also served in the British forces during the First World War, and he was in the deserts, and they were on the camels, and they were going through a sandstorm. And this is a recorded fact of Lawrence of Arabia. And it became apparent some way in the midst of this sandstorm that they lost the person at the back of the queue on the camel. The camel was riding there, but the camel was empty. The person had obviously fallen off. And they all had to make a decision. Do we go back and look for this person, or do we save ourselves and we move on? They were already nearly dying of thirst. Their water reserves had almost run out, and they were in a severe sandstorm. Even the Arabs said, if we don't go forward, you know, we probably won't make it. They said that this person that has been lost, you know what? He's a murderer. He's not even worth it. He's not even worth 10 pence. I wouldn't bother for someone like that. And they rode on. But Lawrence of Arabia turned his camel around and actually went back into the desert 1.5 hours until he found this person, a man with the name Jasmine, can you believe it? This murderer found him nearly dead, put him on the back of his camel and rode back and made it to safety. Now that is a heroic act, isn't it? How much more Jesus, who has seen you and me, he knows all of our feelings. He knows the deepest, most personal, private feelings in your life and mine. He knows that none of us are perfect. He knows that maybe would we even be worth 10p? But Jesus chose not only to get on a camel and go back and risk maybe the chance of death. Jesus willingly walked to the cross. And as youth, we heard this. This is the greatest hero that's ever lived. The Bible says in the Garden of Gethsemane, when the Roman soldiers and those around him, the rabble came to arrest him, that Peter tried to defend Jesus, and Jesus said, put the sword away. Do you not know that I could call 12 legions of angels right now if I wanted to? The greatest man that's ever lived, the God of all the universe in human form, all power, willingly gave up his life. He says, no man takes my life from me. I give it up for you. And knowing the excruciating pain of the cross, that's what he did for us, to purchase our redemption and our place in the lifeboat off the Titanic of this world. And Jesus paid that price for us. I think that's amazing. When they asked him, are you the Christ? And he said, I am. The whole group of soldiers fell flat on their face because of the power that even went out from his breath. By the way, I've eaten garlic last night. So if anybody falls down, I am not the Messiah. I've just had garlic. And that's who Jesus is. That's who Jesus is. As we close, because we're going to now go and get a cup of tea. That's what Agents of Truth has investigated. That God's love is unconditional. There's enough of it for every human that has ever walked this planet and ever will. Your name is on it, and it's been purchased already by his blood, that red ribbon there. And no matter what happens in your life, youth, no matter what mistakes you make, no matter what mistakes we make as adults, you are worthy. You are worth it. Because Jesus gave his life for you. The only thing we have to do then, as it says in John 3:16, now that we know the truth, it says, for God so loved the world, agape, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's you and me, believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And as we finish, that one word, believe, there's the condition, there's the choice. That one word, believe, means choose to trust.
Choose.
Choose. It's your choice. And place your trust in it. And if you'll do that this morning, as we're going to finish and pray, if you will choose to put God and His Word to the test and to trust it, you have stepped in, perhaps for the first time, into the lifeboat of salvation, and from there, the life that God has planned for you begins. Everything up to the point, if you haven't got into the lifeboat, that's not God's plan for your life. There's been things happen, and there is a sentence of death over your head simply because you're choosing to stay on the Titanic. So, whosoever believes, choose to put your trust in Him. The Bible says, put me to the test. Gee, God says, test me, try me now in this. He says, taste and see that the Lord is good. That would be what agents of truth would do when faced with those facts. Amen. So let's go and bow our heads. We're going to pray. And as we pray, if this morning you don't know, nobody's going to embarrass you because this is between you and your God. If this morning you do not know, if you were asked the question, are you born again? Are you saved? Is your name written in heaven? Are you in the lifeboat? Have you received Jesus? Well, it looks like this. Can you remember a time that you stood face to face with God, even privately, and you prayed and you invited Jesus and you said, I take your hand, the hand of your rescuer, and you put your hand in His. You put your trust in Him and stepped into the lifeboat by simply inviting Him to be your Lord and putting Him to the test. If you cannot remember a date, time, experience where you did that, then you have not yet simply taken the hand of your rescuer and stepped into the lifeboat. It's a prayer away. We're just going to pray right now. Pray with me if you wish to, and you can pray this privately with me. And again, you can just talk to me afterwards, or there's questions. As I say, this is between you and God first, and nobody's going to embarrass you. This is your salvation we're talking about. So let's pray this prayer. Father, we thank you that you gave your Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the price for me, and for actually for all the world, that whosoever then, with the price paid, knowing that we are worth it to you, that you love us so much, hallelujah, we choose, I choose now to put your word to the test. I choose to believe what I've heard. And I put my hand in yours, Jesus, as my rescuer. And I receive your salvation for my life. Come and be my Savior, for that's what Savior means, my rescuer of my eternal salvation. And I step in to the lifeboat that you have made for me. And I do that in faith, believing right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that He will direct your steps in blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at bangercommunitychurch.co.uk or find us on Facebook.